to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on the radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, and we'll be with you live for the next 2 hours on this 12th day of December 2005. Program airs live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network Monday through Friday. Thank you for that. Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and that is Central Time. On today's program, Miami bomb incident starts to look really suspicious. Paul Joseph Watson, his postings are on Infowars.com. And also, of all places, Pat Martin from the World Socialist Web site. Evidently, the socialists of the world are starting to get an earful of what's being planned for the United States with martial law. I'm glad the liberals... You know, do they really know who they are, folks? I mean, words get thrown around. Meanings are sometimes misconstrued. Do these people really think that socialism is a good thing? Being called a progressive in this country is somewhat of a badge of honor for people, but do they understand where that term came from? To be some sort of progressive thinker. And, of course, it centers back to the me or the I or to man. And, of course, we ignore any higher being kind of a thing. You're familiar with that. So at any rate, but even the World Socialist website is starting to put out the news to their own people. And that came out of the Asian Tribune, by the way. Why they're running Pat Martin's World Socialist website on there is yet to be determined, but it's a very interesting, very, very interesting article. By the way, do you remember that song that came out of the Vietnam era? And it's 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? I don't know, I don't give a damn, next stop is Vietnam. Well, they discovered that this is not really a popular war. We don't want to see flag-draped coffins in this country, do we? No, no. So what have they decided to do? They've been caught shipping bodies back via freight. I'll give you that story right after this break coming up. This is how bad this is getting, folks. In order to put a happy face on the illegal and unconstitutional war in Iraq right now, they're willing to do anything. That's right, Mr. and Mrs. America. And that's to ship your boy home in a box in some belly of an aircraft with a couple of bags of mail or some people's luggage from Cincinnati, Ohio. To them, it's no different. Freight is freight. After all, it's not a living body anymore. So who would care? Well, I'll tell you that story also. And it has really made the circuit, ladies and gentlemen. I did this story Friday about Mr. Bush and his feelings on the Constitution, it being just a piece of paper. Thank you, George. We already knew that's the way you thought. It's just a pleasure to hear you say it. And amongst three witnesses in a meeting in the Oval Office. And if some of you didn't hear that, you didn't tune in Friday, we'll redo the story for today. This tells you who Mr. Bush really is. We'll be right back.
For over over a year and a half, I have lived with a foot disorder called tarsal tunnel syndrome. My feet became numb with severe aching in my ankles. Additionally, my calves ache. I would have severe shooting pains in my feet, especially at night. While trying to sleep, I would literally cry from the pain that my feet were going through. My podiatrist suggested several different treatments, but could not assure me of any relief. My son told me about Cocoon GH. He assured me that the Cocoon products did what they claimed they would do, and after just 2 weeks using Cocoon GH Extra Strength, my calves and the shooting pains in my feet started to go away. But best of all, I have the feeling back in the heel half of my feet. This GH has literally saved my life. I now get up each morning and hit the floor running. Additionally, my blood pressure is now 120 over 80, the lowest it's been in 30 years.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities, the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. Yeah. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
Well, I want to do this story again, but I don't. For those of you that did not hear the program Friday, then there's a lot of people out there that don't listen to anybody else's show. Shame on you. But at any rate, in case you missed last Friday's program, and this is all over the web, folks. I mean, this is it's on rents.com. It's hit all the I hesitate to use the term alternative media, because actually what we are is we're the alternative to the controlled media, which really makes us a true media. But at any rate, Bush on the Constitution, Doug Thompson out of Capitol Hill Blue. And I won't use the term that Mr. Bush used, just except to say it's just a GD piece of paper. Last month, Republican congressional leaders filed into the Oval Office to meet with President George W. Bush and talk about renewing the controversial USA Patriot Act. Let me digress here for a moment. There's heated debate. They're threatening filibuster in at least a half a dozen senators on the vote for the unamended, Patriot Act, and they want it renewed for 4 years. Back to Doug Thompson here. Says several provisions of the act passed in the shell shock period immediately following the 9/11 terrorist attacks caused enough anger that liberal groups like the American Civil Liberties Union had joined forces with prominent conservatives like Phyllis Schlafly and Bob Barr to oppose renewal. GOP leaders told Bush that his hardcore push to renew the more onerous provisions of the act could further alienate conservatives still mad at the president from his botched attempt to nominate White House counsel Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court. If that's as deep as they go, they're as shallow as a mud puddle and just as clear. But at any rate, Bush retorted to that suggestion, "I don't give a GD. I'm the president and the commander-in-chief. Do it my way." One aide at that meeting said, "Mr. President, there is a valid case that the provisions in this law undermine the Constitution." "Stop throwing the Constitution in my face," Bush screamed back. "It's just a GD piece of paper." I've talked to three people present for the meeting that day, and they all confirmed that the President of the United States called the Constitution a GD piece of paper. And to the Bush administration, the Constitution of the United States is little more than toilet paper stained from all that crap that this group of power-mad despots have dumped on the freedoms that this GD piece of paper used to guarantee. And Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General, is also his front man, that's right, down here in Texas. "Got to drag your baggage with you. Familiar baggage is comfortable." While still at White House counsel, wrote that the Constitution is an outdated document. And we're still looking, by the way. A caller called me last Friday and said, "Where can we get that? And what publication and what date?" We're still looking for it. We will find it. Or if anybody out there knows where that can be seen and what publication, we need a day, preferably a day, and in what publication it was in. So we can put that up there for people's perusal. Back to this. Put aside for a moment political affiliation of your personal beliefs. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent. It doesn't matter if you support the invasion of Iraq or not. Despite our differences, the Constitution has stood for two centuries as the defining document of our government, the final source to determine, in the end, if something is legal or right. Every federal official, including the president, who takes an oath of office, swears to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Supreme Court Justice Anton Scalia says he cringes when someone calls the Constitution a living document. He says, "Oh, how I hate the phrase, we have a living document. We now have a constitution that means whatever we want it to mean." The Constitution is not a living organism for Pete's sake. As Judge Scalia says, "I don't have to prove the Constitution is perfect. I just have to prove that it's better than anything else." President Bush has proposed seven amendments to the Constitution over the last 5 years, including a controversial amendment to define marriage as a union between man and woman. Members of Congress have proposed some 11,000 amendments over the last decade, ranging from repeal of the right to bear arms to a constitutional ban on abortion. Scalia says the danger of tinkering with the Constitution comes from a loss of rights. "We can take away rights just as we can grant new ones," Scalia warns. "Don't think that is a one-way street." Well, Mr. Scalia, let me correct you on something here. You don't give anybody any rights, and you don't take them away. These things come directly from a lot of people in this country that don't believe in anymore. Oh, that's right, God. Let's get God out of the institutions. Let's get God out of public office. Oh, that's right, because you know what? This is the ultimate grantor of rights. Government doesn't give you rights. It's merely supposed to protect them. So, Mr. Scalia, I added an addendum there to your statement. And we don't buy the White House hype that the USA Patriot Act is a necessary tool to fight terrorism. It is a dangerous law that infringes on the rights of every American. And as one brave aide told President Bush, something that undermines the Constitution of the United States. But why should Bush care? After all, well, you know what he said. The Constitution is just a GD'd piece of paper. That has made the rounds. I was talking to several people today, and I said, you know, I said, somebody should email Sean Hannity that, or Bill O'Reilly over at Fox News, or whatever the case may be. And they reminded me, they said, well, wait a minute, Fox News, that's Rupert Murdoch. Do you think these people will say anything like that? They're pushing that for the protection and support of the neocons. Why would they say anything about it? Here's the point, folks. It's spread across America. So when you send something like that to these talking heads, what happens is it lets them know that people out there have noticed this. And you put it in their sight to remind them that it actually was said and it's going on. And how can they sit there day after day and defend this madman, this little Nero Nittler that we have in the White House? Marine's body shipped freight. Lovely story. FreeMarketNews.com today, Monday, December 12th. The Bush administration continued war on Iraq continues to anger those who, and this came out of San Diego 10 News, reports that dead soldiers are being shipped freight to avoid publicity. As 10 News puts it, dead heroes are supposed to come home with their coffins draped in flags, greeted by a color guard, but in reality, many are arriving as freight on commercial flights in the belly of the plane with suitcases and other cargo. The story tells of John Holly and his wife, Stacy, who discovered that the body of their son, who died in Iraq last month, would be arriving at Lindbergh Field via freight. This is amazing. So they contacted their representative, Senator Boxer. I'm sorry, Boxer. And they're trying to dig into this and find out what's going on. Well, they contacted the Department of Defense for an explanation. Well, when they researched the issue, they didn't know that this was happening. Folks, the one thing you do not do is a time-honored tradition. And that's one of giving due respect to a fallen American with color guard, with a flag over a coffin, and you give it the just due, its respect. You give that dead soldier his respect. You don't throw him in the body of a belly of a commercial aircraft and ship him freight, for God's sakes. Why don't you just UPS him if they were in a hurry? But the strange thing about this is that this has to come under orders, because this is time-honored tradition. There are mechanisms and avenues in which to ship home your dead. Well, we do remember during Vietnam that enterprising individuals that were working closely with the CIA, of course, were cutting open the body cavities of dead U.S. soldiers in Vietnam and shipping heroin and cocaine back to the United States, mainly heroin. So somebody somewhere knows. But it's just amazing to me that, well, when you contact the Department of Defense and you tell them that, hey, American soldiers are being shipped on commercial aircraft like so much baggage, well, we didn't know that this was happening. Yeah, and I'm a Chinese jet pilot. Coming up after the break, you got a president here saying, you know, the Constitution isn't worth toilet paper. I mean, you got the Department of Defense denying that we have our military boys being shipped on commercial aircraft like so much freight, like a crate of bananas or something. Is this getting through to anybody out there? That they have absolutely no respect for the lives that they pro-offered, supposedly in the gargantuan quest to nation-build and to give them democracy in Iraq. You know, I think Iraq was doing quite all right before we arrived on the scene. Roger in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Roger. You're on the air.
No, just a quick comment, if you please. I wouldn't assume. I think it would be a mistake to, and I'm not assuming you do. And when you opened up at the top with the, you know, the socialist taking on certain truth aspects, it was certainly worthy of mention. But the mistake would be, of course, to assume that there would be any, like, follow-through among the socialists or lefties broadly, because you recall that they carved off some tiny chunks of the 911 truth movement. But as soon as anything goes to point to anything Rockefeller or thereabouts, you know, they've been on a few of the shortwave shows, interviewed, etc., and now you see that it's all gone in the toilet as far as any real follow-up, like you would have among conservatives or, say, true constitutionalists.
Yeah.
So leave it at that, and God bless.
All right, thanks. Got a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bennett once again for the Republic Broadcasting Network and the Republic Trading Group. What a day this has been. The S&P was up. The NASDAQ was up. The Russell 2000 was up. I don't know where the Dow went. 10-year notes even. But you know what? It's been a real wild ride in gold and silver markets today. Gold ended the session at 528.15. At one point in time this very day, gold actually had reached momentarily $540 an ounce. Silver ended the day in the 870, the high 870s range. You can go to two or three different sites and charts and see what it's doing. A lot of things happening economically. A lot of news has come out of the Federal Reserve today. The Dow closed down today. We'll bring you up on some of this stuff up overnight. We'll get some fresh columns posted on the RepublicTradingGroup.com website. A lot of things going on in platinum. The Chinese jewelry demand is not yet exhausted, so platinum is making its way upward in the day. At 10:19, I'm running out of voice because I've been doing this for about 9 hours straight, 9.5 hours straight. So, you know, you keep tuning in to Republic Trading Group or Republic Broadcasting. We're going to keep trying to bring you these updated financial commentaries and headlines throughout the course of each and every day. And you can pick this up on pretty much all the folks' program. If you give us a call at Republic Trading Group, if gold and silver are something that you have finally begun to realize needs to be a part of your financial future and your financial stability, that's how you find us, 1-800-691-7898. But ladies and gentlemen, when you call, you're going to get the voicemail. Leave a message. We will call you back. If you don't leave a message, we can't get back to you. We cannot, try to foresee that you're out there trying to reach us if you don't let us know that. So keep your eyes open. Things are happening. India, China, Russia, Great Britain, France, Middle East, all of these things are having an effect on the direction of gold in addition to, quote, Mr. Bush's economic policies, whatever they may happen to be. Stay with us here on Republic Broadcast, and we're going to be heading back to John Stadtmiller's program momentarily. And stay there. You'll find lots of good information. I'm running out of breath. I'm running out of voice, but I guess I've got to keep running here. You guys take care of yourselves. We'll maybe see you later. Maybe we'll see you tomorrow. 1-800-691-7898. Let's do what we've got to do.
The Asian Tribune, Pentagon devising scenarios for martial law in U.S. According to a report published Monday by the Washington Post, the Pentagon has developed its first ever war plans for operations within the continental United States in which terrorist attacks would be used as a justification for imposing martial law on cities, regions, or the entire country. The front page article cites sources working at the headquarters of the military's Northern Command, or NORTHCOM, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The plans themselves are classified, but officers who drafted the plans gave details to Post reporter Bradley Graham, who was recently given a tour of NORTHCOM headquarters at Peterson Air Force Base. The article thus appears to be a deliberate leak conducted for the purpose of accustoming the American population to the prospect of military rule. According to Graham, the new plans provide for what several senior officials acknowledge is the likelihood that the military will have to take charge in some situations, especially when dealing with mass casualty attacks that could quickly overwhelm civilian resources. The Post accounts declares the war plans represent a historic shift for the Pentagon, which has been reluctant to become involved in domestic operations and is legally constrained from engaging in law enforcement. A total of 15 potential crisis scenarios are outlined, ranging from low-end, which Graham describes as relatively modest crowd control missions, to high-end, after as many as three simultaneous catastrophic mass casualty events, such as nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons attack. In each case, the military would deploy a quick reaction force of as many as 3,000 troops per attack, i.e., 9,000 total in the worst-case scenario. More troops could be made available as needed. The Post quotes a statement by Admiral Timothy J. Keating, head of NORTHCOM. This is what the Admiral said. In my estimation, in the event of a biological or a chemical or a nuclear attack in any of the 50 states, the Department of Defense is best positioned of the various 8 federal agencies that would be involved to take the lead. The newspaper describes an unresolved debate among the military planners on how to integrate the new domestic mission with ongoing U.S. deployments in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other foreign conflicts. One major document of over 1,000 pages designated ComPlan 2002 provides a general overview of air, sea, and land operations in both a post-attack situation and for prevention and deterrence actions aimed at intercepting threats before they reach the United States. A second document, ComPlan 0500, details the 15 scenarios that the actions associated with them. The Post reports ComPlan 2002 has passed a review by the Pentagon's joint staff and is due to go to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and top aides for further study and approval. ComPlan 0500 is still undergoing final drafting at NORTHCOM headquarters. While NORTHCOM was established only in October of 2002, its headquarters staff of 640 is already larger than that of Southern Command, which oversees U.S. military operations throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. About 1,400 National Guard troops have been formed into a dozen regional response units, while smaller quick reaction forces have to be set up in each of the 50 states. NORTHCOM also has the power to mobilize 4 active duty Army battalions, as well as Navy and Coast Guard ships and air defense fighter jets. The Pentagon is acutely conscious of the potential political backlash as its role in future security operation becomes known. Graham writes this, military exercises codenamed Vital Archer, which involve troops in lead roles, are shrouded in secrecy. By contrast, other homeland exercises featuring troops in supporting roles are widely publicized. Military lawyers have studied the legal implications of such deployments, which risk coming into conflict with a long-standing congressional prohibition on the use of the military for domestic policing, known as posse comitatus. Involving the National Guard, which is exempt from posse comitatus, could be one solution, Admiral Keating told the Post. Quoting him, he said he cited a potential situation in which Guard units might begin rounding up people while regular forces could not. Graham also added this, when it comes to ground forces possibly taking the lead in homeland operations, senior NORTHCOM officers remain reluctant to discuss specifics. Keating said such situations, if they arise, probably would be temporary, with lead responsibility passing back to civilian authorities. A remarkable phrase, probably would be temporary. In other words, the military takeover might not be temporary and could become permanent. In his article, Graham describes the Northern Command's Combined Intelligence and Fusion Center, which joins military analysts with law enforcement and counterintelligence specialists from such civilian agencies as the FBI and the CIA and the Secret Service. The article continues, a senior supervisor at the facility said the staff there does no intelligence collection, only analysis. He also said the military operates under long-standing rules intended to protect civilian liberties. The rules, for instance, block military access to intelligence information on political dissident or purely criminal activity. What kind of poppycock and lying is that? We already know what the Patriot Act has done. We already know that these things are not intended to be sunsetted, you know, snooping in your library records. You know, I mean, folks, come on. You think any self-respecting terrorist is going to go check out a book at the public library on how to build an atomic bomb? More on this story when we return. Stay there.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Again, despite the soothing reassurances about respecting civil liberties, another phrase leaps out: intelligence information on political dissident or political dissent. What right do U.S. intelligence agencies have to collect information on political dissension anyhow? Political dissent is not only perfectly legal, but essential to the functioning, as this article puts it, of a democracy. The reality is that the military brass is intentionally interested in monitoring political dissidents because its domestic operations will be directed not against a relative handful of Islamic fundamentalist terrorists who have not carried out a single operation inside the United States since September 11, 2001, but against the democratic rights of the American people. And, folks, if you've been listening to this broadcast for any length of time, Osama didn't do it. Maybe Osama bin Laden's mama did it, but Osama bin Laden himself has said that he did not carry out the attacks of September 11, 2001. The plans of NORTHCOM have their origins, not in the terrible events of 9/11, but in long-standing concerns in corporate America about the political stability of the United States. This is a society increasingly polarized between the fabulously wealthy elite at the top, oh, here comes the class struggle, I can see it now, and the vast majority of working people who face an increasingly difficult struggle to survive. The nightmare of the American ruling class, in its emergence of mass movement, From below that, challenges its political and economic denomination. You know, folks, I heard this on the air today, and I don't doubt it one bit, that the middle-class America, up until a few years ago, that's right, comprised about over 60% were middle-class Americans. Guess where the figure is at now? 30%. Now, one might say that that's the difference between the haves and the have-nots, or you may be a corporate entity out there and you're not interested in anything but bottom line, and you'll go transnational, you'll go trans-America, you'll go trans-world or trans-galaxy. They don't care, as long as they can set themselves up to do business. As long ago as 1984, when Osama bin Laden was still working hand-in-hand with the CIA in the anti-Soviet guerrilla war in Afghanistan, the Reagan administration was drawing up similar contingency plans for military rule. A Marine Corps officer detailed the National Security Council drafted plans for Operation Rex 84, a headquarters exercise that simulated rounding up 300,000 Central American immigrants and likely political opponents of a U.S. invasion of Nicaragua or El Salvador and jailing them at mothballed military bases. This officer later became well known to the public, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the organizer of the illegal network to arm the Contra terrorists, as this article says, in Nicaragua, and a principal figure in the Iran-Contra scandal. Yeah, you know what happens to people like Ollie North? He gets a national radio show. He gets all the accolades from television. He gets his pretty picture when they cite something from Lieutenant Colonel here, Ollie North, as they like to call him, refer to him as. It's always that best picture. The guy was a thief and he was a crook, all right? And being lauded as being some kind of hero is absolutely insane. Now, as for the claims that these military plans are driven by genuine concern over the threat of terrorist attacks, these are belied by the actual conduct of the American ruling elite since 9/11. The Bush administration has done everything possible to suppress any investigation of the circumstances of the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, most likely because its own negligence, possibly deliberate, would be exposed. And let me stop here. Let me digress here for a second, because a lot of people have been talking about this, that the left, and whatever that is anymore, folks, I got to be honest with you, I don't even have a clue, because this is political pablum that's set up just to debate endlessly about whatever. No, it has to do with the Constitution. You know, if there was somehow, there was something that was drawn up by the communists or the socialists or anybody else prior to the Constitution and that somehow was forgotten, I would like to hear about it. Because the last I heard, the man-made law of the land was the Constitution, and people like Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and Donnie Rumsfeld and the whole crew up there was supposed to abide by the Constitution. Indeed, what they do is they find ways endlessly to try to outrun it or do an end round, I should say, and try to circumvent it. While the Pentagon claims that its plans are a response to the danger of nuclear, biological, or chemical attacks, no serious practical measures have been taken to forestall such attacks or minimize their impact. The Bush administration and Congress have refused even to restrict the movement of rail tank cars loaded with toxic chemicals through the U.S. Capitol, even though even an accidental leak, let alone a terrorist attack, would cause mass casualties. In addition to bioterrorism, the Defense Science Board determined in a 2000 study that the federal government had only one of the 57 drugs, vaccines, and diagnostic tools required to deal with such an attack. According to the report in the Washington Post on August 7th, in the 5 years since the Pentagon report, only one additional resource has been developed, bringing the total to two out of 57. Drug companies have simply refused to conduct the research required to find antidotes to anthrax and other potential toxins, and the Bush administration has done nothing to compel them. Well, just wait. That'll probably be for their sinking values of their shares. Don't underestimate them. They'll probably come out with a brand new plan next year to sell you much-needed vaccines to thwart off such an attack. See, this is, folks, this is never-ending. for whatever perceived threat, whatever veiled threat, whatever manufactured threat, they'll come up with a solution, and it'll cost through the nose. See, this is the problem with this phony, hyped-up war on terrorism. It's got everybody just, ooh, on the edge of their seat. Ooh, chemically, we might be attacked. Biologically, oh my goodness, it might be a dirty bomb or a nuclear weapon that's exploded in America. Well, I can only tell you this, out of watching 9/11 and the subsequent supposed investigation thereof, the only thing the federal government would be there for would be the handmaiden to make it happen. Evidently, the administration and the corporate elite, which it represents, do not take seriously their own warnings about the imminent threat of terrorist attacks using nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons, at least not when it comes to security measures that would impact corporate profits. Not unless the corporation, ladies and gentlemen, is making a profit off of the scare. See, you know, the strange thing about this is, why is nobody talking about, well, what would be the best way to eliminate the terrorist threat? Rather than supposedly dealing with some boogeyman that the war might last for 100 years, why not examine U.S. policy as to the reasons why somebody might consider an attack on the United States? Oh, but we dare not go there. We'll just spend billions of dollars, turn a society and a country inside out, keep people at the edge of their seat and in constant fear. That's a better way to deal with it, don't you think? Don't you just enjoy the elevated alerts when you watch your evening snooze? Are you even paying attention to that anymore? I doubt very much. You know, I would say that, yeah, there's an attack going on in this country, folks, but it ain't from Islamic terrorists, that's for sure. It's from the other terrorists, the ones that claim to be American and be there for the American benefit. The anti-terrorism scare has a propaganda purpose, as they say here, to manipulate the American people and induce the public to accept drastic inroads against democratic rights. As the Pentagon planning suggests, the American working class faces the danger of some form of military police dictatorship inside the United States. Well, there's a very simple solution to this. You know, how many years did we deal with Bill Clinton and all his lies? And what's the best thing that we could nail this guy on? Oh, yeah, beside debating what is, you know, getting in front of a grand jury and lying about Monica Lewinsky affair. You know, I mean, folks, I mean, come on. Bill Clinton, that's the worst that the man did? No, absolutely not. But we have a president now that refers to the Constitution as just a piece of paper. Is there nobody in this country, in any form of government, whether it be state or some appendix here of the federal government, that's going to call this little Nero Nittler out? If he has that much disdain for the Constitution of the United States, then the man should not be in public office, and he certainly should not be in the Oval Office. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. 800-313-9443. It's getting weird, folks. We've sat here and witnessed them shredding the Constitution, or at least their grand plans to do so. They have made provisions to turn this country into one gigantic police state for pretended reasons, I might add. For light and at least transient reasons. Because in actuality, folks, we have laws already on the books that deal with terrorists, that would deal with somebody that would take somebody's life from them or destroy their property. See, these are property crimes. And there is no statute of limitation, folks, on murder either. And that's supposedly what terrorists do. That's how they perform terror. They murder. You know, somebody kills a park bench in New York City's Central Park. I don't think that's necessarily, you know, a national concern, you know. But they start murdering Americans, well, that's a different subject now, isn't it? But still, and again, why are they not examining the policy that the United States government is taking that would somehow engender these kind of ill feelings toward the United States. None of this, none of it is making any sense. And for each and every day that passes, that goes by, that this man is left in office, and I don't care if it's a Bill Clinton or George Bush, so you people out there that still like to play politics, forget it. Neither one of them is worth the powder to blow them up with. That's agreed. Because they were both so far away from the Constitution, it was ridiculous. And that's the whole point of having a president of the United States raising his right hand to defend and protect the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. Well, we've met the enemy, and he is us. Or better still, he's George Bush. I mean, what is it going to take in this country? A military coup? Oh, but that's kind of a dangerous thing, isn't it? Because if a military coup takes place, how do you know the military ain't going to stay in charge? They're going to turn that back over? And then this is time-honored. I mean, this is law that we don't have a military government. That the military leaders themselves, and I don't care what branch of government they're in, it is directed by civilian authority. Let's underscore civilian authority. But we are perched. I mean, folks, and is it going to surprise you? Is it going to surprise you that one morning you wake up and there's some sort of national emergency and martial law has been declared and they start pulling the plug on the Constitution, start rounding people up, throwing them in detention centers, which we've documented over the years? It's all there. Is anybody going to be surprised? But here's the better question. What are you going to do about it when it happens? Are you going to pick up your phone and call your congressman? Not while the jackbooted thugs are coming down the street and you're cordoning off neighborhood, emptying out of your house, looking for weapons and contraband and anything else. See, there's not going to be any time then to debate now, is there? Here's the better question. What are you going to do about this today before it turns into a nightmare tomorrow morning or the day after? They've been talking. They've been shouting it loud. Is anybody listening? And more importantly, and I'm speaking to the respective governors out there. See, this is why I've said, folks, time and time and time and time again, that the real key to getting this country back is through the states. If we can't solve the problems politically at Washington, D.C. level, what makes you, you know, at the state level, what makes you think that you can handle it at the national level, going through these channels? Well, the answer is you can't. Until we demand that the state governors once again return our states to a constitutional basis through these state constitutions, then it means nothing. Not a thing. And people will sit out there and debate endlessly, well, what should we take up today? What's the emergency of the day? Should we go after toll roads? Should we go after voting boxes? Well, you keep talking about those sorts of things while they plan on taking everything that you have. And if you dissent against it, they'll take you out. So put that in your public debate pipe and smoke it. Remember what I said about hacking at the branches and not getting at the root to kill this root of evil. Doug in Austin. How you doing, Doug?
Doing great, John. How are you today?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, listen, I got an idea. I'm sitting here listening because I read that same article on the 9th related to what Bush, you know, said related to the Constitution. It just keeps occurring to me that everything this guy is doing is pushing so close, if not crossing the line in several instances of treason. And I think it would be interesting every day at the beginning of your show, or at least one of the shows, I'd like to see it be yours, that's, you know, that literally reads a real tight, clear, concise definition of treason. And then the next question, in other words, you're answering the question, what is treason, okay, with the definition. And then right afterwards, just take any of the news bits that have come up every, you know, that come up all the time on this guy, and so then ask the question, is this treason? And then go da-da-da-da-da about the story. And I think it'll become apparent. And we can't have a treasonous president now, can we?
Well, He's been doing it all along, and Congress has been complicit in it. They voted him most the most likely to be the most knowledgeable on who to wage a war against next without congressional approval. The only thing they want to do is sit around and debate about how they're going to fund it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, treason just doesn't fall against the president. There's lots of things that Congress are doing that I think fall well within the rights of that as well when you get the definition clear. And so it'd be interesting to start pointing that out to the people, because, I mean, I bet you there isn't a handful of people around that can actually give you a clear definition of what treason is.
Understand.
Anyway, just a thought. I mean, you know, let's just put it in their face every day.
All right.
Is treason? Here's the definition, and, you know, here's the news bit today. Just ask the question, is this treason?
Maybe we can contact Wikipedia and put a picture of George Bush up there and the new encyclopedic explanation of what treason is. Well, you could look at George Bush's face.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yeah, have a great day, sir.
Thanks, Deb. We'll be right back, folks.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
If things aren't bad enough in the Middle East as it stands, Israel is readying forces to strike on a nuclear Iran. Well, they're not quite nuclear, are they? Oh, they were just thinking about doing it. Well, tell you what, we got enough nuclear weapons. I'd be happy to sell a couple to them. For defensive purposes, are you kidding? They're sitting there in the Middle East, Sudan, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, all these countries, they have no nuclear weapons whatsoever. And they're good buds and pals. That's right. The Israelis have over 400 of them. Israel's armed forces have been ordered by Ariel Sharon, the prime minister, to be ready. They say by the end of March of 2006 for possible strikes on secret uranium enrichment sites in Iran, military sources have revealed. The order came after Israeli intelligence warned the government that Iran was operating enrichment facilities believed to be small and concealed in civilian locations. Iran's standoff with the International Atomic Energy Agency over nuclear inspections and aggressive rhetoric from Mohammed, I can't even pronounce this guy's last name, folks, I'm sorry, the Iranian president, who said last week that Israel should be moved to Europe, are causing mounting concerns. The crisis is set to come to the head in early March when the president of Iran, the head of the IAEA, will present his next reports on Iran. El Berardi, who received the Nobel Peace Prize yesterday, warned that the world was losing patience with Iran. Really? Thank you, Mr. Berardi. A senior White House source said the threat of a nuclear Iran was moving to the top of the international agenda, and issues now was, what next? That question would have to be answered in the next few months, according to him. Defense sources in Israel believe the end of March to be the point of no return, after which Iran will have the technical expertise to enrich uranium in sufficient quantities to build a nuclear warhead in 2 to 4 years. One warhead in 2 to 4 years, and they have 400 of them right now. Boy, that's a big threat. Israel, and not only Israel, cannot accept a nuclear Iran, Sharon warned recently. Who says, Ariel? You tolerate us, don't you? We tolerate you. We've got a bunch of nuclear weapons, so do you. I don't see you making threats or innuendos toward the United States. I don't see you wanting us to disarm. Oh, that's right. That's because we're giving you billions of dollars every year. The order to prepare for a possible attack went through the Israeli Defense Ministry to the Chief of Staff. Sources inside Special Forces Command confirmed that G readiness, the highest stage for an operation, was announced last week. The head of the Atomic Organization of Iran warned yesterday that his country would produce nuclear fuel. There is no doubt that we have to carry out uranium enrichment, he said. He promised it would not be done during forthcoming talks with European negotiators, but although Iran insists it wants only nuclear energy, Israeli intelligence has concluded that it is deceiving the world and has no intention of giving up what it believes is its right to develop nuclear weapons. And they're exactly right, folks. And who is Ariel Sharon to tell them that they can't? By the way, a massive Israeli intelligence operation has been underway since Iran was designated top priority for 2005, according to security sources. Cross-border operations and signal intelligence from a base established by the Israelis in northern Iraq are said to have identified a number of Iranian uranium enrichment sites unknown to the IAEA. Probably the same people and Condi Rice and Colin Powell and George Bush and all the other guys. Well, that's right. They must be feeding them the same information about these weapons of mass destruction and the sites that were in Iraq. 50-50 on the shortwave dial for international listeners. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming at you right after the top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.